Alrighty. I did fail to mention one more prayer request. I pray for Brother Armour, Miss Christine's husband. He's in the hospital tonight. Be in prayer for him. I don't know all the details or all the things about it, but just be praying for him also, as you would add him to your prayer list, Brother Jeremy, and these other needs, the Watsons and them tonight. So just add them to your prayer list, and I trust and hope and pray that you would pray for them, and just keep them on your list. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 6. And I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm not going to be long-winded tonight. I just want to give you something simple. I just want to give you something what the Lord has put on my heart tonight. I know y'all have heard that before from Pastor, but so you get a 50-50 chance of it being short or long. So, please be in prayer for two main prayer requests tonight, and for Miss Christine's husband especially too. So three, Miss Christine and Brother Jeremy's trial that's going on. They'll know by probably tomorrow night or Friday night what's going to happen there. So just be in prayer for Jeremy and ask God that you would give him wisdom. He's got some hard choices that he's got to make and in a short amount of time. And, you know, it could either go one or two ways, you know. So just be in prayer for him and that the Lord would give him peace. And then also for Mrs. Hatfield, she's in the hospital tonight, and the Watsons, as they're up there with Pastor tonight. So be in prayer for them. But in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 20 here. And it says there, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Verse 2, it says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And we'll go ahead and read through verse 24. It says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's go ahead and pray before we begin tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for these people who come to church faithful and who love you, Lord God. They had a long, tiring day, Lord, at dealing with kids and work and many other things that they could be doing tonight, Lord. But we're so thankful that they came here, and we're so thankful that their faithfulness to serve you. I pray, Lord God, that you would bless them for that and use us in a great and mighty way. Help us, Lord, to see someone saved this week, or to just give out the gospel to someone this week. And please help us to be a light in this dark world. And Lord God, I ask and I pray that you would help the people tonight to hear from you and not from me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said before, I'm just going to give you a simple layout of what God has given me. Pastor called me about 5:30 and he said, hey, I'm going to have you preach tonight. And he said, you know, you got to be ready to preach, pray, or die in a minute's notice. You're a preacher. So, and I said, amen, as I was grabbing my Bible to, you know, do all that. No, no, I had something ready. I always try to have a sermon ready or something ready just in case. I've got a little notebook here that I've got several sermons outlines that I can go back to and read. So that's good to have. He just said, just keep it simple tonight. So I'm just going to give you a simple outline, simple thought tonight is a giving, praying, fasting Christian. A giving, praying, fasting Christian. And in this chapter in verses 1 through 24, Jesus is all talking here. You have a red letter Bible. And Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling the people, he's saying that you as a giver, the first part is a giver. He's talking about a giving Christian, someone who gives of the church. Maybe it's not just of money. Maybe it's your time, or maybe it's some way you can help someone spiritually, or you're giving something to the church. But he's talking about here, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, I believe in giving to the church. I believe that we should come to the church, as it says in the Bible, we should give our tithe, we should give our offerings to the Lord. And I believe in tithing. I believe that tithing is something that every Christian should do. I tithe, and I know that some of us tonight may be thinking, well, I got all these bills to pay, and I got this house payment, and I got this car payment, and I got insurance, and I got all this stuff that I got to pay and I got to do. And you know, when I get that check in the mail, or I get that check in my bank account, you know, it's, and I look at it and I take 10% out of there. You know, I make, let's say you make $2,000. Well, 10% of that belongs to God. The tithe means a 10%. The tithe means that $200 is God. Now, the whole check is God's. When I was in Bible college, this man was teaching on finances and telling me, and he looked at the class and he says, now, how much of your paycheck belongs to God? And most of the class said, oh, 10%, you know, the tithe. He said, no, 100%. All of it belongs to God. But I'm so thankful that God said, give me 10 of it. And he said these words in the class. He said, you know, aren't you thankful God didn't ask for 90% of your income? Aren't you thankful God didn't ask for 80% or 70% and you had to live off the rest of that? Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad of that. God only asked for 10% of the income. But he's saying here, when you come before the church, or when you come to give your tithe, or you come to give your alms, your offerings to the Lord, don't do it so that someone else can see you. Don't be a proud Christian in giving. You may have lots of money, you may have lots of wealth, and you give lots of money. But don't do that openly. Don't say, hey, I gave this week, and it's going to support this, and you go out and tell everyone. No, keep that to yourself. That's something between you and God that God will bless you for. But if you say, hey, I'm the one who gave it. I'm the one who did it. I'm the one, look at me, everybody. I'm the one who's all holy. I'm the one who's has all this money. Hey, look at me. Look what I give. Look what, just like the Pharisees did. They said, hey, look at me. I gave this much money. I did good here. Well, the Bible says that when you do it in secret, God will reward thee openly. Amen. When you do something, when you're a giving Christian in secret, God will reward thee openly. You see, not everyone needs to know about your giving and what you give or what you do for the church. Just go and do little things. I'm so thankful for church members who come here and they clean, you know, on Saturdays, and they don't expect anything of it. They don't expect, I'm flipping this ring around. It's bothering me. But they come to church and they don't expect anything of it, and they don't tell anyone that, but they do it secretly. Some people who come here and they work on things, or they do things and they don't tell anyone. And they stay here for hours upon hours, and no one knows what they did, but God sees what they did. Amen. Same for you as a Christian tonight. When you give your tithes, when you give your offerings, don't be a boastful about it. Don't be saying, hey, look at me, look what I can do. Look, I'm a Christian and I'm giving, and I'm not saying you can't give. Do that. But don't be a boastful Christian. Don't be a proud Christian about it, because that money that you gave was not yours. That money you gave was God's. It belongs to God. Your whole paycheck belongs to God, but He only asked for a 10% of that paycheck, or however your increase is what the Bible says. A giving Christian. He says here in the first four verses, he teaches about giving. And when you do your alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You know, some people will come to you and say, hey, man, you're blessed. Someone just gave you a nice new car. Someone did something for you. You got a paycheck in the mail that was unexpectedly, and they said, you're blessed. Well, that may have been because you tithed last month. That may have been because you worshiped God the way He wanted you to do in secret, and now He's rewarding thee openly. I want to be rewarded openly. I want this world to see my life blessed. I want my coworkers to see my life as a blessed Christian. I don't want to come moping into work all day and say, oh, I got this bill and I got to do this. And, oh, man, life is just so tough. And I'm sick yesterday and I got all these issues and I got all these problems. No, I want to be a giving Christian in secret, so that when I go to my coworkers and openly, they can see how blessed I am, how God blesses me. Because they see that and they know that. And even not just your coworkers, maybe a family member who's lost, but they see that you're blessed. They see that you've come around the corner and God has just blessed your life openly. But God will do that to a secret Christian, behind the scenes Christian who does something not to boast himself up, but to push the Lord up. The Bible says, Paul says, I must decrease, He must increase. Every dime that you give in the offering, every penny, every cent that you give, it all goes to God. Everything that you give, it all goes to the God's work. Most of that offering, and I don't know the finances in here tonight, and I don't want to know the finances in here. I'm the assistant pastor, and I don't know who tithes. I don't know who gives. I don't know a penny of who gives or who does what, and I don't want to know that. I told my dad that. I don't want to know any of that. That's none of my business. Because that's between you and God. But when you do that, when you give, you're giving to the work of God, and God will bless thee openly. God will bless you. He will bless your house. He'll bless your kids. He'll bless your children. Yeah, trials are going to come, but He will still be there for you. He's not going to give you something that's too heavy for you to bear. God will bless you, but you've got to do it with a humble heart. Be humble. And say, this ain't mine, God, but this is yours, and I want to give it to you. Being a giving Christian. Secondly, is a praying Christian. And I think this is the main point I want to hit tonight. And I know our church, and there's some folks in our church who have been going through a really, really, really tough time right now this week, and even just in the past hour of Mrs. Hatfield, you know, going to the hospital, and Brother Armour, you know, going to the hospital and all that. You know, the devil likes to punch hard. The devil likes to hit a church hard. And you know you're doing something right whenever the devil starts swinging at you. You know you're doing right when the devil is fighting you. You know you're doing right when he's coming after you and doing all these things. But being a praying Christian. Now, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about doing it openly so that others can see you and saying, oh, I got to pray in front of this big crowd today. Or I only pray when someone asks me to pray. That's the only time that I do that. No, God's telling you here, he says, the hypocrites, they standing in the synagogues in the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. They have the reward of men because they want to do it because they want to please someone else. They want to please their brother or their sister. They want to please the priest maybe or the pastor and says, oh, wow, look at you. You're a great praying Christian. Wow, that's so amazing. But God knows their heart. God knows what's in their mind. God knows that they go home and they don't ever open up the Bible. He knows that they don't ever get in their prayer closet and pray. He knows that. God knows that. But he's talking to a Christian here. Pray when the door is closed. Pray when no one's looking. When you go to work and you're alone, maybe in a room, or you're doing something, or you're with other people, talk to God. Say, God, I need you today. God, I'm all sold out to you today. I love waking up in the morning, and I just love talking to God. And I say, God, thank you, Lord, for another day of life. Amen. And that's talking to God. That's praying to God. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray continually throughout your day. Pray continually through whenever you wake up, whenever you go to bed, before you eat, after you eat, whenever it is, just talk to God. Now, you don't always have to get on your hands and knees and stand before an altar, and then that's your prayer time. I'm so thankful that we have a God who's available 24/7, 7 days a week, you know, 365 days a year. He's always available in your house, in your car, at church, wherever you can be. God is always available. But he's saying here, you don't need to stand in front of people, and that's the only time you pray. He says, get some time alone where you pray for others alone, because that's when God will reward thee openly. They have the reward, the people who pray in front of others and who do it for other people, but they don't do it for God. They do it for others. In the verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He's saying, lay it up in heaven. When you pray in your prayer closet and you're praying for someone else, or you're praying for your own kids, or you're praying for a healing in our country today, that's something that God will reward thee openly. And you may say, well, I'm not getting any blessings. No, life is tough. Life is hard. Count your blessings. Get a pen and a piece of paper out. On one paper, write down your blessings. On one piece of paper, write down all your heartaches and all your trials. And I guarantee you, you will fill up paper after paper of blessings. And the blessings will always outweigh your trials. Get in the prayer closet alone and just thank God for what he's given you. Thank God for what he's doing to you. But you don't have to always pray when you're out in public. Pray secretly, because God will reward thee openly. Now tonight, I know that we have some struggling Christians in our church tonight who are being attacked by the devil, I believe, and the devil's trying to take their life, you know, because God's doing a work in their life. And, you know, God wants us Christians to pray for others, to intercede for someone else who's going, they may not even be going through a trouble or a trial. Just pray for them, just to see God move in their life, just to see God help them. But whenever a brother is knocked down or a sister in Christ is knocked down, pray for them. Go to God about it. God knows them. God knows he can change the way of he could stop the whole world in an instant. He can sound the trumpets and we can all go to heaven in an instant. He can do whatever he wants. He can do his bidding. But when he sees a Christian get in the prayer closet and they pray for somebody, you're lifting their name up to the God of the universe. Yeah. The God of the heavens, the God of all creation, who can do many, many great wonders, many, many great miracles. He loves you so much that he wants you to get in the prayer closet and have a relationship with God. I'm so thankful that we have an altar here. I'm so thankful for an old-fashioned altar. It was at this altar where I was an 11-year-old boy when I knelt and I surrendered my life to be a pastor. I surrendered my life to preach. But I'm so glad that there was an altar I could come to and pray. There was an altar there. I'm so glad that I have these things in life where this altar I can come to and pray. And you know, it's sad to see Christians who they don't ever take one single step out of the pew and ever come to the altar to pray. It's so sad to see in America today that we just want to sit in the pew and pray there. But there's no humility in our heart to say, God, I want to be humble. I want to come down this altar and I want to talk to you. I want to get closer to you. I want to get on my knees and I want to pray. Just like the men of old, of Elijah and Noah and David and all these men who got on their knees and they prayed. I'm so thankful for an altar. And I know some of us in here tonight, we're older and we can't get down on our knees. We can't do that stuff. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm just talking about when God speaks to your heart. I've done it before, where God would speak to me and I say, no, I don't need to go to the altar, God. I'm good. I'm fine. And God says, no, I think you need to get down on the altar. You need to get some sin confessed. It's where at the altar you can find forgiveness. It's at the altar you can find grace. You can find God. You can get close to God. Pastor can even pray with you if you want. It's at the altar where you can find humbleness in your heart, where you have humility to come to God. Now, I'm not saying come down to this altar so that others can see you. I'm not saying that at all. But if God tells you, hey, I think you need to go down and get on your knees and just pray at the altar. You know, it's sad to me that a Christian who's been saved 5 days or let's say 3 months can do more than a Christian who's been saved 3 years. It's really sad to me that we get so in the groove and we get so apathetic about the Word of God and we get so about ourselves or we want someone else. Oh, what do they think about me? Who cares what they think about you? Just do what's right. Just live the Bible way. Who cares if they're criticizing you? Who cares if they're going against what you say? God's word will stand forever. God's word will last for forever. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth or rust doth not corrupt. When you pray alone with God, you're telling God, I need you. And tonight, I beg you tonight, be a praying Christian. Be someone who walks and talks with God. Be someone who has a set time to say, you know, I'm setting this time aside and I'm going to pray to God. There's, like I said before, there's some people in our church that are struggling tonight that are going through, and many of y'all know who he is. And it really burdens my heart to see that he has to go through something that is absolutely horrible, that no human being should ever have to go through. But God's not gonna work if we don't get to pray. God's not gonna see it if Christians don't get to pray. Hey, it's just like that lady who knocked on that man's door, and he knocked on the man's door, and he opened the door, and he said, go away, and he closed it. Then they knocked, and they knocked again. And he said, I'm not going to leave till you give me some bread. And he said, go away, and he closed it. And they knocked, and they knocked, and they knocked, and he finally opened it, and he said, okay, here, take it all. That's the kind of Christian God wants you to be when you pray. When you talk to God about some other man who's been going through a trial or some other lady who's been going through a trial, and you may think God not hears him, well, pray for him again. Say it again. Say it again. You'll get God's attention eventually. God hears every word of your prayer. But if every Christian were to come together and were to pray about a single topic, I think God would hear it. I think God would be in the midst of that. But we need some praying Christians who will not just pray for ourselves, who will not pray out in public and openly to see about me, but we need some Christians who will pray for others, who will get in the prayer closet and say, I need to pray for this family in the church. I need to pray for my coworkers. I need to pray for this person. Be a praying Christian. Pray wherever you go. Talk to God. I can't emphasize that enough tonight, Christians. Is that God's trying to get people here to pray unto God, the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God of wonders. I get to go into the throne room and I get to talk to him. Listen, I'm a sinner just like everyone else in this room, and I don't deserve one single breath on this earth. I don't deserve to ever stand before or to go into the throne room and even talk to the God of all the earth. My sin is too heavy to bear. My burden on my back of my sin is so weighted down, but I'm so glad that I get to go and I get to talk to the God who can take those burdens from my heart. He can take the burdens. He can take the sorrow. He can take all that weight and give me relief. He can give me peace. And I don't even deserve any of that tonight. I don't deserve. All I deserve is to go to a place called hell and burn forever because of my broken commandment against God. But I'm so glad he gives us a time where I don't have to dial 911 and call God. I don't have to do that. He's always available. All I have to do is just cry out to him and God will answer you. God is always there for you. Like I said, he's always there for you every single week, every single day, whenever you need him. Whenever something happens in your life, what's the first thing we do? What's the first thing you do when your car breaks down? You're on the phone, texting, got to call insurance, got to go talk to the other person you got in the car wreck with, got to go do all that. And then you stop and you get back in the new car that's about to take you home. And you actually stop for a second and clear your mind and you say, you know what? I totally forgot all about God. I could have just died in that car wreck and gone to heaven. I could have just died right there. But I totally forgot about God. Be a praying Christian. Pray first. Pray first through everything. Everything that you have, pray about it. There's not one thing that God does not care about. You say, oh, that trial, that problem, that thing is just too small. Oh, that child's too small. I don't want to worry about him. No, pray about that person. God cares about every single person's needs in there here tonight. God cares about every single person's needs who is listening on live stream or wherever you're at tonight. God cares about every single person. And when you lift someone else's name up to the God of heaven, he can change people's hearts to go the right way. He's the one who do that. I can't do that. But I'm so glad for praying Christians. I'm so glad for a praying mother. I know that my mom and my dad, I know this, and I haven't even seen it because they don't do it openly. But I know that they go in the prayer closet or they kneel down to pray where they can. And they prayed for me as a young boy growing up. And growing up in age, and I believe this, if I didn't have a praying dad or I didn't have a praying mother, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today. Hey, parents, your kids need you. Your kids need you to pray for them. Your parents need your kids to pray for you. The kids need to pray. Teenagers, little kids, doesn't matter who they are. Other people need your prayers. The God of heaven wants to bless them. But you've got to be there to intercede for them. You've got to say, hey, this person's going through a hard time, and he needs you, Lord. He needs you, God. Be that person who will help intercede for them. A giving Christian, a praying Christian. And then lastly here, a fasting Christian. Now, I'll be honest with y'all. This is not one of my strong suits. I struggle with this immensely. And, you know, being a Baptist, y'all probably do too, so. But, you know, a fasting Christian. And it says here in verse 60, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. You know, when I go without food for a long time, you know, I can get kind of sad. I can get kind of irritated and kind of, man, I really need some food. What's that word? Hangry? Hangry, not hungry, but hangry. You know, I can get that way when I don't get some nutrients in my body, or I can get mad, and I can get upset. But he says, don't be of a sad countenance like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have the reward. They say, oh, poor me. I've gone without food today. And then everyone comes to them and says, oh yeah, let me help you. And it's all about them. It's not. There's nothing, when you fast, don't tell anyone about your fasting, because people are going to look to you and they're not going to look to God. The fasting is for you and God. It's to say, God, I'm going to fast this one meal today because I want you to intercede for this prayer. Giving, praying, and fasting all go together. You could say, God, I'm going to take away this meal and I'm going to pray. I'm going to take away this meal and I'm going to read my Bible. Or I'm going to put you first before my food. I'm going to put you first before my kids. I'm going to put you first before my life. I'm going to put you first. But being a fasting Christian, I'll tell you tonight, I struggle with this too. But I've done it a couple of times, and it hasn't been a long fast. Hasn't been, you know, some people can go week or two without food and stuff. But I, for me, I can't do that. I can do a meal. You can do a meal here or there, and just say, you know what? Why don't we skip meal? Why don't we skip a breakfast and just get on our knees and pray? You don't have to do it so that others can always see you. You can do it at your house. You can do it in your car where no one's around, no one's looking, and it's just you and God. Those are the sweetest moments of my life. Amen. When it's just me and God talking to each other. And I love it. But being a fasting Christian, saying, God, you know what? I love you enough, and I trust you enough that my food is not going to run my life. My money is not going to run my life. My work is not going to run my life, but I'm going to put these things aside right now between this time, and I am going to look to you, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do right. God will reward thee openly. What he sees in secret, God will reward thee openly. You say, I don't think God sees me. I don't think God's blessing me. But God sees what you do, and he knows what's on your heart. He knows that you prayed that. He knows you read. He knows you're doing right. He knows that. He knows you're staying faithful. He knows that tonight. You say, no one's giving me any recognition for this thing I've done in the church or this thing I've done. Why don't you just say, God, you get all the glory. I don't deserve any recognition here tonight. I want God to get all the glory in my life. At the end of my life, you know, however age I am, when I stand here in the casket, I want people to see God. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see a life full of blessings, a life full of goodness, a life full of where just God worked in my life. I don't want them to see me and what I did. In Ecclesiastes, when Solomon's talking about all the works that he builded. And he built all this, and he got all this, and he was the wisest man of earth, but he lost track of what God had given to him. And he said, you know what, I got this, and I built me this, and I got all this. But at the end of my life, when I stood there in silence, when I go into the grave, and no one ever remembers me except for my family, all those works that I did are but dust. There's nothing that I can do on earth that is profitable. But everything through God is profitable. Everything. What God can do through you, that's the stuff that he can answer. That's the stuff that'll work. That's the stuff that'll work soul winning. That's the stuff that'll work is praying as a Christian. That's the stuff God will do through you. Listen, I'm not saying building stuff is wrong. I'm not saying getting money is wrong. I'm not saying all that stuff is wrong. But when you get to the end of your life, that bank account that you've stashed $1 million in isn't going to matter. It's going to sit there and collect dust throughout ages and ages and ages. That's all it's going to do is just sit there. That building you built is just going to sit there. And it's just going to rot away every day of your life. But the things you do for God will last for forever. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Put them in heaven. When you pray, you're going to laying treasures up in earth to where God can bless you. I don't know about you today, but heaven is for eternity. Heaven is forever. And by the way, hell is forever. I believe that too. Hell is a real place where people go and they die and they burn for forever, is what the Bible says. And they stay there forever. There's no escape from hell. But I'm so glad that there's no escape from heaven either. And you're going to live there for eternity, and you want to trade a vapor of your life for all of eternity? You want to do that tonight? You want to waste your life away going down to some bar and drinking some drinks and living it up with your family? You want to waste your whole eternity on some a lady friend who's taking you away from church? You want to waste your whole eternity on some form of drugs that you've been hooked on for life? You want to waste your eternity just on that? You're trading wood, hay, and stubble for gold. And you're doing it blindly sometimes. But what I'm trying to get you to understand here is not be a giving, praying, fasting Christian. Be someone who would do these three things. I believe if God didn't talk about them, then maybe it wasn't important. But Jesus here even talked to his disciples and talked to others about these three things, being a giving, praying, and a fasting Christian tonight. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes tonight.